Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. Hi there. This is kind of a special episode for me because it is our 1 year anniversary. And I'm here on my own today and decided to have a look at kind of my biggest learnings or things I took away from having all these amazing conversations with workplace leaders and, well, experts who influence and support workplace leaders. And in line with kind of the last conversations I had with Kirsty, Darren, and Danielle, and well, so many others actually who brought up the same topic, the things I'm going away with is three things. So one is personalization of workplace experience, turning more towards the employees as individuals and their special situation and their demands, which if you're a larger organization, I do understand is harder to do because, yeah, it's just not possible that one person HR talks to everybody. But taking the time to listen in on individual voices and encouraging your team leaders to take the time to do so and to report back and then to find underlying themes is a great piece of the puzzle when it comes to looking at either hybrid, remote, or office experience. When it comes basically to how do you support your increasingly mobile workforce best and how do you show people that you care for them as well. Like changing the one-sided relationship between companies and employees for the time where you're buying people's time and the rest you don't really care about. They come to your facility and they're another resource you're using. Changing that to a mutually beneficial situation where you're adding to their life with what you're bringing in and seeing them as a user. I think Mikkel was one guest who brought that up as a topic as well, like treating employees, visitors, partners equal in their experience in the office and with the company. And now what goes along with like listening to employees, and that would be my second theme here, is actually vulnerability as well. It's like changing the culture within the company to become more open and accommodating for people's needs. I've said that before, basically, but it all boils down to that, just asking if people are well. Sometimes that's all it needs, but it needs to be meant. If you're just asking, oh, how are you doing? And you don't really want to know, that doesn't help anyone. But having that conversation, and then as well for yourself, admitting at times that you're not always well and that you're not performing your best each and every day, which is normal. I mean, look at you going to the gym. You can't bring the same performance every day. There's rest days as well. If you look at that, why wouldn't there be rest days in our work lives? And well, there's stuff happening as well. And a lot of people struggle, especially now where we're in the, I've stopped counting actually, in which wave we are. And it's becoming increasingly harder to process that and to wrap our minds around that this is our reality and our lives. Well, and just admitting that we don't have the answers right now, and for an organization to say, okay, we don't know what's going to happen with the office. We don't know what's going to happen with you in remote situations, but we want to explore that together with you. So admitting that we don't have the solutions right now, that's actually something that can create a lot of trust with people. If you take them with you on that journey and say, we don't know, but we're really ready to explore that with you and listen to what you have to say in that. And then the third theme would be to challenge our perceptions that we had of the workplace afar, of work and where it needed to be conducted and when it needed to be conducted and how, maybe as well. So generally just being open to these new questions. And those three leading for me to kind of the question of how then do you prioritize office transformation? How do you go about creating the new workplace experience? How do you find what strikes with employees? And well, in light of what I've said before, I think even if you don't have the data of people coming back to the office right now, there's things you can look at. And one is, what is authentic to your company mission and the culture you want to create? Because it doesn't make sense for every company to put a foosball table or a ping pong table somewhere to spike creativity. I think Kirsty framed that very nicely. That's not going to happen. And it doesn't create culture to have that. But it's more about the values that you showcase and highlight. So what is it that is authentic and real and that people are going to buy in and use? Because again, if you put something in and you don't need it, nobody's using it. And then the other thing, it's kind of Maslow's pyramid. So like base requirements. It's the tech enabling, flexible and hybrid working that people need. And it is ergonomic workplaces. It's just workplaces that are healthy for people to work in. And that is not only the desk and the chair that should be proper, but that is also access to daylight. And that is heating and ventilation to safety standards. And that is creating movement. And that is providing healthy snacks and not only the chocolates, although everybody loves it. So that all feeds into these base requirements, which actually are fostering creativity because you create a playing field where people are feeling safe and feeling at home, hopefully. And then I would say I actually go for simplicity. Look at what is easy to use, has a low barrier to implement, and people don't have to worry about how to do things. I see that with myself. Actually, I'm not the most tech-savvy person. So like having an application that's super complicated, many clicks, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to download it. And then something to go by, especially now, is probably to identify the weak links. So what is it that in the employee surveys or in the conversations you had, people have flagged as the things they are lacking right now? So is it collaboration? Is it socializing? Is it focus time? Is it the distractions they have at home? What is it that bugs people the most? And how can you help them? Because that's in the end, the question of workplace experience. That is, how can you make people's lives easier and better so that they don't have to worry about a thing? They just know they have the resources and the places available to do stuff, to get stuff done at a very basic level. Now, with all that said, I'm going to leave you with two book recommendations, actually, with stuff I read because people recommended it to me on the podcast. And it goes with the learnings I've had. So the one book is Remote, Office Not Required, which I found a really interesting read because it was written way before the pandemic by a company or like company founders that had a fully remote company back then already. And the other book is The Reset, Ideas to Change How We Work and Live. And I haven't finished reading it, but already found it super interesting because it looks at the different layers of yourself, culture, how you create culture actually within a company, what businesses can do, how we work in communities or like act in communities. And then I still need to reach these higher levels. It's about city and society as well. So everyone, thank you very much for being part of this journey. I hope you could take something out of it, whatever it is. Let's meet again at the next episode. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on data readiness in CRE, along with the opportunity to assess your organization's workplace insight score. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.